At the close of my message today, I'm going to ask everybody to fill those out. And if you make a decision for Christ and you offer your heart to Christ for the first time, you'll check that. If you've rededicated your life, if your life has been away from God and you need to get back in relationship with Him, then you would take the second. And if during the past year or two, you've never had a moment where you've been able to say publicly, I am following God. See, maybe you did it privately. For me, I gave my heart to Christ in 1973. I was only 4 years old. No, not true. I was out of college. I gave my heart to Christ, but I was in my apartment and my couch, and I was all alone. So that opportunity to come forward publicly had to happen at a different time. And so that's what I want give you that opportunity. So if you've never done it publicly, today could be the day. Now you see those candles up on those walls? Today is the last day we can add candles to that wall. But look, it's over 400 candles. Amen. You that are clapping probably already know that we start over again April 1st. Now, we'll let those up there for a little while, but that's all the people who came to Christ in the past year through the ministries of Christ Wesleyan, through opportunities like this. And so we just rejoice because you are a part of a body of believers that sees people come to Christ every week. And then every year we have an opportunity to celebrate. So we're going to do that. And if you make a decision for Christ today, we'll make sure that it's your candle is up there. And we usually keep it up for a couple months until we take them down and start over again in this year. Let me share several things about the fact that He is not here, He is risen. What an incredible message. Let me say, this is such an awesome day that we celebrate. I am so glad so many of you decided to come. We had a sunrise service that started first, then we had a breakfast, and if you were a part of that breakfast and serving and helping, could you stand for just a second? We'd just like to say thank you to you for all those. There's a whole bunch of them. Thank you. Great job. A lot of them are part of Home Builders ABF, and others were dragged into it by a friend, but thank you so much for getting up early and making sure that happened. It was a great morning. Last week, we had an awesome opportunity for the Living Lord's Supper. Had almost 1,800 people here, and so we rejoice at what God is doing in the hearts and lives of people. So we're here to celebrate today, but there's nothing that could be more important than talking to you about the truth that we can be certain of. A truth. This is a truth. The resurrection is not something that you have to hope happened, or it's not a fairy tale that might have happened. It's a reality. It's a truth. It happened. And so when we hear that today and we look at this, this makes the difference. It's the deal breaker in all things. And so today I want to talk to you about walking in victory, because we do not need to be depressed and discouraged about life. We have victory because of what Christ has done for us. So the scripture says, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Father, open our hearts in these moments that we might hear your voice in Christ's name. Amen. I want to talk to you about a reason to believe, a reason to believe. There's such an important message that I believe that God wants us to be able to understand. And I believe that there's an important message that's not just something that's emotional, but it's something rational that you can think through the process and realize what we have. The risen Jesus and the future hope, Gary Habermas, wrote this information. He said, all scholars from the theological spectrum, this is very conservative to very liberal, all scholars looking at this agree on these things. So I think, wow, what do they all agree on? Well, let's understand. First, that Jesus died by Roman crucifixion. Now, this week, Easter week or Resurrection Sunday and Passion Week, it's called all kinds of things. This is the best and the worst that you could see of mankind. It's absolutely the best and the worst. I mean, you see what Jesus submitted himself to for you. That's what you see. I mean, the reality is, when we look at this, he gave his life and he was willing to die for you, but he was willing to subject himself to the worst part of mankind, and they could do whatever they wanted. And that's to show how evil man is and how evil sin is. And so you see that picture and you think, well, why would he have to go through such suffering so that he's unrecognizable? I don't know if you've watched The Passion of the Christ. I watched that the first year it came out. I was invited to the premiere that was in Chicago, and I went to that and saw that, and then came back and had reserved the Watson Theater, and we had two showings for our congregation, and I saw it another time. That first year, I think I saw it four times, and every time it's just like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this. Bought a copy of it. It's still in the plastic. I've not been able to open it because it was so intense. I still play those pictures in my mind and I still think about it. It was so graphic, but you know what? It was worse than that. It was worse than that. That's just what they can let us see. I mean, and you can't imagine somebody gave his life for us to that degree. He loved us that much. Well, he was buried most likely in a private tomb. This is all what they agree on, okay, scholars. Three, soon afterwards, the disciples were discouraged, bereaved, and despondent, having lost hope. They all agree Jesus' tomb was found empty very soon after his interment. The disciples had experiences that they believed were actual appearances of the risen Jesus. Say they had these. Due to these experiences, the disciples' lives were thoroughly transformed. They were willing to die for their belief. Now, it's hard to debate if you say, oh, it was just a story, didn't really happen. Why would anybody give their life for it? Why would you put your life on the line for something that didn't really happen? Why would they be totally transformed unless it really did happen? The fact is, the proclamation of the resurrection took place very early from the beginning of church history. Now, I'll tell you this. This is, I shared this with the congregation a little earlier because we went down to see the Dead Sea Scrolls in Philadelphia. And when we did, I saw this CE and BCE. And I thought, I wonder what that is. Because, I mean, I've always been used to seeing AD and BC, you know. And so I'm thinking, you know, BC, before Christ. So I'm thinking, now, what is this CE? And I realize what the world has done is they've tried to take Christ out of everything. And so they're changing it to common era and before common era. So there's no more Christ in the world. But let me tell you, we're here to say there's still a Christ. And he's living in me. That's the difference. So let me say, whatever the world decides about anything doesn't matter. We still have the Word of God, and we can let our light shine wherever we are, because that's the responsibility of what God has given us. And whether they change it to BC or CE or BCE or not, it still revolves around Christ's birth and death. But if they don't want to talk about it, we'll talk about it, because that's what we're called to do, and we'll make sure. The fact is, the disciples' public testimony and preaching of the resurrection took place in the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus had been crucified and buried shortly before. The gospel message centered on the preaching of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The Sunday was the primary day for gathering and worshiping as a result of that day. James, the brother of Jesus, this is interesting, a skeptic before this time, was converted when he believed he also saw the risen Jesus. You'd have thought he'd have kind of got it while they were growing up, huh? Or maybe his mother would have said, now James, Jimmy, one more time like that, you're in trouble. But we see, just a few years later, Saul of Tarsus became a Christian believer due to an experience he also believed was an appearance of the risen Jesus. Now, all scholars agree on those. Interesting as we look at that. So, what does that mean? So, it is either a fairy tale, a lie, or an embellished story, or it's the truth. When we start looking at the fact, how do we know it's the truth? There's so much evidence. There's so much. I passed on to you what was most important and what had been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Paul wrote that. Now, when he wrote it, he said most of those were still alive. So somebody could have come up and said, wait a minute, this guy's writing false stuff because that's not true. No, most of them were still there. They were still alive at the time. We know that God causes everything to work together for good. The fact is, there is a volume of support that is a part of all of this. There were 12 recorded appearances of Christ. 12. That's amazing. This is after his death. 12. There were over 500 witnesses. Could this group stand? Could this group stand? And this group stand? Now, if all of you said the resurrection never happened, we have this many people who are willing to say, I was an eyewitness. It happened. I saw it. Now, just imagine trying to say, no, you didn't, when that's facing you. 500, over 500 witnesses. That would stand up in any court of law just on its own. Can we praise God for that? Thank you. You can be seated. The fact is, there were over 35 recorded miracles that took place. They were witnesses. There are numerous historical sources, and even the Jewish Talmud that say he was hung on a tree on the eve of Passover. So why are they struggling so hard today to get it out of our minds and tell us it was a fairy tale and it was not true and it was not? We have more eyewitness documents and earlier eyewitness documents for the resurrection than for anything else from the ancient world. And so when we look at that, we say, moreover, these documents include more historical details and figures that have been corroborated by more independent and external sources than anything else from the ancient world. And we also have more unusual circumstantial evidence supporting the resurrection. That was written by Norman Geisler and Frank Turek. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And I don't know if you've watched Frank Turek at all on Christian TV, but he is amazing in what he shares and his truth. And I'm in dialogue with him right now, hoping to get him to come in the fall so we can have him for a weekend and talk about somebody who's an atheist. He debates atheists all the time. He's amazing. And so we'll be excited to be able to have him come and share. That kind of proof is all around us as we look at God's word. The fact is, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. The disciples' journey to belief, you know, when I look at this, I think, no wonder God loves us when we blow it. No wonder God loves us when we struggle. No wonder God loves us when we're really wrestling with our belief system. Here we had his disciples that spent time with him. And at the very last, they all fled. And then they all struggled to believe, is he really alive? Did this really happen? Here we have all these disciples wrestling through it. His own brother. And yet he loved them so much. He was willing to give them the freedom to work through this. And still love them. God loves you no matter what you're doing in your life. No matter what your struggle is, no matter what your burden is, no matter what you're wrestling through in your mind, whether it's your belief system or not, or whether it's something about it, he still loves you. And he's got a plan for you. And he's waiting for you to respond. The fact is, they had to be reminded, and then they remembered. See, the scripture says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Then they remembered his words. Oh, yeah, that's right. You see, as I said, they had to be reminded, but then they remembered. The fact is, they did not believe the testimony of the women. Those women went and found, and they were the first ones, but they didn't believe what the women said. They wanted to see it for themselves, and so they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. That's crazy. I can't believe he's dead. I mean, he's dead. What do you mean you saw him? He couldn't be alive. Now, here they are, the disciples, and they're at this point of saying it's nonsense that Jesus is alive. I mean, Peter, as we see, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away wondering to himself, what had happened? Now, he didn't just go, wow, Jesus is alive. He goes, wow, this is crazy. What has happened? Now, and that's why when I think about all this, I realize how much space God gives us. How much distance. You know, sometimes we're so anxious for people to give their heart to Christ, and we don't even want them to think about it. Just do it right now. We just like, come on, let's get this over with. And we don't, look how God gave them the space. He gave them enough time, enough ways to process through it. Oh, Lord, help us to be that way with those in our lives. The fact is, two disciples didn't recognize Jesus until their eyes were opened. I mean, they were with him, and they didn't even recognize him. Like, you think, really? Like, what were they thinking? Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. They were kept from recognizing him. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So, sometimes people aren't seeing Jesus yet, because their eyes are still not open. And so, don't try to peel them open. Let Jesus do that. Gotta work it. We just have to be patient. We have to let him work. Continue to pray. He knows the best timing. He knows everything that's exactly needs to happen. Then he appeared to the disciples and showed himself to them. He ate with them. But they still struggled with their belief. Wow. I don't know if you thought about this aspect of it so much, but as I prepared and kept thinking, I kept thinking, wow, all this time here. Now here they're seeing this living Jesus and they're still struggling. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to struggle. If you're struggling with something and wondering if you can believe and how you can believe, it's okay. God will give you the space and the time. You can work through this. He loves you that much. He gives you that opportunity. The fact is, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. And he said, peace be with you, he said. Still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Like, wait a minute, he's dead? How's he alive? I don't know. I don't know if I can believe this. This is crazy. Like, they're happy, they're crazy. I mean, it's like trying to figure this out because it's not making sense to them. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. Let me say, God wants to open our minds at just the right time. He wants to open our minds, and until God opens your mind, you're not going to understand. Until you're willing to let God do that, let me say this, God's not going to force his way on any one of us. He gives us the space and the time, and he's going to let you do this. But he wants you to see that. He so wants you to know him, to walk with him, to be in a relationship. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. You see, you can't understand the Bible unless God opens your mind. It's a spiritual book. Oh, you can understand the history of it. You can understand the words of it. But it wouldn't pierce your heart until you have the Spirit living in you. Then he opens our minds so we can see it and gain truth from it. You see, he came to bring us victory. That's the message that he came. And so that's why we celebrate today. He came to bring us, because without Christ, preaching is useless. Faith is useless. The idea of help for sin is useless. In fact, there's no hope beyond the grave without Christ. There's such an importance of understanding. I don't know why churches preach or pastors preach when they don't know Christ. When they just say, believe whatever you want. I don't understand that. Because I just am simple enough that I believe either you take it all or you don't take any. But why call yourselves one? Because the Bible says that it's if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. So it's just very simple. The fact is, when the resurrection took place, the last enemy was destroyed. The last enemy. You see, we in Christ, when you are born again, you have Christ living in you, you no longer have to fear enemies. Important. He said the last enemy to be destroyed was death. That meant all the other enemies of our soul are already destroyed. And this was the last one to destroy. See, when the last enemy was destroyed, it confirmed that all the other enemies had also been destroyed. See, when he said this is the last one, no more. And so what do we see? We could have victory over temptation. We talked about that during, that's what the doctors ordered. We could have victory over the storms of life and fear. The doctors already ordered that. We know that's truth. We could be able to have victory over worry, and you don't have to be caught up in that. We could have victory over unforgiveness. We could have victory in our life over failure. The fact is, that's the victory that he brings to us. We don't have to walk in defeat. We have victory. And there's an importance of understanding that message that he wants us to be able to have. We could walk in victory. We can walk in victory. And that's the message. He says death has been swallowed up in victory. It's gone. So you don't have to fear dying. When you have Christ living in you, you don't have to fear dying. Whatever you're getting is far better than anything here. And when you remove death from a fear, like, everything else doesn't matter, right? Because that's the worst possible, we think, in our mind. So what's the worst that could happen to you? Well, you could die. Okay. I don't have to fear that anymore. Because I have victory over that. Jesus came, suffered, died, and arose that we might have victory. You see, he said, but thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. So, how did you come to this same life change and experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life? When was that date and when was that time? This is where you should get that purple sheet out. Let me just talk. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. When I gave my heart to Christ, that was the moment of transformation. And my life has never been the same since then. Everything that was a part of my past was forgiven and gone. And I had a whole new beginning and a whole new start. Here's how you do it. I think it's as simple as ABC. First, A, I admit that I'm a sinner. That's not real hard, because we know the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, so if I would say, are you perfect? If you say you are, I would guarantee if you turn to your spouse, they would not agree with you. Or your best friend, if there's no spouse. No, we're not. We all fail. And that's why we have a Savior. He said, for the wages of sin is death. What you work for is your wages. So if you spend your life in sin, your paycheck is going to be death. But if the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, but if your wages are for God, for righteousness, your paycheck is heaven. He says, believe, admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So when I say yes to Jesus, yes, that's the difference. See, A, admit I'm a sinner. B, believe that he died for me. C, confess your sins to Jesus. And be willing to turn from your sins in repentance. That means this. I'm walking this way with my life, and I give my heart to Christ, and now I turn, and now I'm going to be walking in a different direction. And so, not that I'm not going to ever sin, and not that I'm never going to have problems or stuff that's going to follow me, of course. But I now have a Savior who's going to help me. And in me, there's a desire not to sin. And so my desire is not to go there anymore, because God has put it in me. The fact is, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be. There's nothing else that you need to do. It's nothing else. You say, well, don't I have to be baptized, and don't I have to go to church, and don't I have to read my Bible? All those things are good, and they should be evidence that will come out of your life. But not to begin. All you do is believe, and then you receive. You see, you receive him into your heart as Lord and Savior. In a very simple plan, he says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So, that's the promise he gives us. If that's the desire of your heart, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. Could we all pray it together? I think it's a great way that we could be able to reaffirm our faith and our commitment to Christ. Let's pray this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in a very simple act of faith, if you were sincere, you don't have to be emotional. You don't have to be crying in tears. If you are, that's awesome too, but that's not a requirement. You just have to make up in your mind, that's what I want to do with my life. That's the decision maker I want to make sure, and I don't want to turn back. I want to make sure that's what's happened in my life. And if that's the desire of your heart, he says he comes in. He said, in 1 John, I write these things that you may know you have eternal life. Not that you hope you do, but you can know you do. So if you gave your life to Christ, then he says you can know that. If you take that purple paper and you would fill that out, would everybody just fill it out? I think it just helps other people that are around you. If you just write your name, your address, your phone, that might be helpful for us as far as files. We may not even have that on. But if you could all just do that right now. And then if you've made one of those decisions, today I followed the prayer of the pastor, gave my heart to Christ for the first time. If you'd fill in that space. Today I rededicate my life to Christ. I've been away from the Lord. If you'd fill in that space. If that's the story of your life, I gave my heart to Christ some previous time, but I've never taken a public stand. I've never done that. This is the day I want to do that. And so maybe you prayed in your seat one time when I offered a prayer. Maybe you prayed in your home or alone or with someone else, but you've just never had that opportunity. If you would do that. I gave my heart during the past year and have never taken that opportunity to share it with others. I'd like to light a candle in celebration, if you would do that. Would you stand together with me? Father, I know that there are those that are here today that are making that decision for the first time. I want to give you an opportunity, if that's your decision today, of your rededication, or maybe you're just finally taking a public stand, this is the time to do it. Father, I ask that you would help them to have the courage to do that. This is a great place to take a stand for Christ. It's a great place to be determined to live for him. In Christ's name, amen. If you did that, would you just come forward for just a minute and hand these, put these cards right here, or the paper on the altar, and that was a decision that you made this morning or this past year or rededicating your life. If you've made one of those four, would you just do that right while we wait? We'd love to be able to celebrate that with you and make sure that we can. Amen. Praise God. Others that would just say, that's the decision I made today, and I want to make sure that I can be able to rededicate my life to Christ. I am making sure that I can. You can come forward. There are people that will be up here that would be happy to pray with you if that would be a need of your life. But if you would just do that. Sharon, if you could come on over here. If there's someone that would like to, that would be great. Thank you. we can be able to make sure we can celebrate, because it's a great opportunity to be able to eat. Would you just kind of cheer these on that are making that decision today and let them know you are praising God for what's happening? Amen. The Bible tells us that there is a party that goes on in heaven when people come to Christ and they give their heart to Him. And we love to be able to celebrate that here, because it's one of the best things that we can possibly do. But there would be those who would be happy to pray with you if you've made a decision, or if you just want to come and put the paper up here just to say, yes, this was my day. We're going to close with a really exciting, fun song. They're going to remain here. And so if you still have a paper on the way out, or if you'd like to talk to them for a moment, they'll be happy to share with you or pray with you, because God has a great work in your life that He wants to do. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. He is risen.